Part 2. The Team. 1. December 12th, 2025. I thumbed through the journal for the 10th time that morning, unable to determine where the bridge cavern was located. Hunter wouldn't tell us, and with the believers searching for it too, I didn't blame him. He'd been there, and so had my father, but Dad had abandoned Hunter, leaving him behind and out of the loop. It was probably a good thing for the wealthy entrepreneur, otherwise he'd be dead like my dad and Clayton. Dead. I said the word out loud as I set the book on the desk and wondered if he wasn't really gone. Maybe he existed somewhere. A bridge, by definition, was a structure that carried across an obstacle. They connected two places. By this logic, Dirk Walker could have taken this bridge and arrived elsewhere, but why had he never returned? I glanced out of my office, seeing my luggage beside the kitchen table. The car would be here shortly, but I didn't feel ready. While everyone in town was settling into the holiday season, thinking about their final days of work before their families came to visit and Santa rolled into their chimneys, I was prepared to embark on the journey of a lifetime. I flipped my computer open and scrolled to the saved bookmark. The syndicated radio show played on the app after I clicked on the latest episode. Welcome to Across This Great Nation with Bill McCreary. As most of you are aware, I've been keeping a close eye on the mysterious shapes continuing toward Earth. One first appeared near Pluto almost a month ago, and shortly after, we discovered there were two of them. Identical in size and shape, as far as we can tell, and I've been told they have increased velocity. Scientists are baffled, and we've had various professionals on the show to speculate, but no one seems to have the answers we're seeking. Today, we're speaking with Isabella, and she claims to have been part of an organization that centered their beliefs on this moment in our history. I stopped fidgeting with the computer and leaned back, listening closely. This sounded revealing, and even though I'd been ignoring the whole mysterious objects in space for the most part, I felt confident there was a connection to the mission I was participating in.
Thank you for having me, Bill.
Isabella, tell me about this group you were referring to.
They've been around for decades. I was brought in young because of my boyfriend. He was older, successful, but caustic. I found out what he was actually doing when I suspected him of cheating on me. He only laughed and invited me to join their meeting.
And where were you, Isabella? Bill asked.
I lived in Chicago at the time. If I told you his name, you wouldn't believe me,
she said. I've heard a lot of implausible things in my life, and more often than not, it's the really unfathomable ones that have come true. You can keep him anonymous if you like.
The believers don't let just anyone leave their fold. Once you're in, you're in. I've feared for my life for the last 8 years, Bill, every day.
Isabella's voice wavered as she spoke. I've heard of this group, the believers. You were involved with them?
Yes. As I said, it wasn't by choice. Once they had their claws in me, I couldn't escape. I saw too much. But their main focus was preparing for the return of their redeemers.
And by this, we're not talking about Jesus or Judgment Day, Bill asked.
We will be judged, according to the believers, but not by God. By them.
Them?
Alien beings. I didn't trust them at the time, Bill, but have you seen these things? Their trajectory is leading them to one place. Earth.
There was a slight pause, dead air as the host contemplated what he'd heard. If what she said was true, how had Hunter Madison gotten out of this cult? Isabella, was this a cult? What kinds of things were done behind closed doors? I waited, leaning closer to the laptop's speaker.
Sacrifices, prayer, and attuning.
Somehow Bill managed to avoid asking about the sacrifice comment, and he went for the easier question. What is a tuning?
The believers await the return of these aliens. They speak their language, or think they do. A tuning is an ancient meditation meant to link them to their masters when they arrive.
I had never heard of such a thing and decided to interrogate Hunter further when we were next together. Did you practice this? Do you speak their language? Bill's voice was low, his excitement palpable through the speakers.
I tried to. I didn't attune. I wasn't high enough. I catered to the leaders.
So there's a ranking system?
In a manner of speaking.
Can you offer anything in the alien tongue? Bill asked calmly. Isabella's voice changed, her words thick and heavy.
Drin alono rispenlen.
And what does that mean? A pause.
Prepare for arrival.
My skin itched at her words. It reminded me of the scrawling in Hardy's book, and I decided to ask Hunter about the language. He'd failed to mention that to us. You heard it here first, folks. The language of the incoming savior aliens. Take a break, grab a stiff drink. We'll be right back with more from the former cult member, Isabella. It cut to an ad, and my buzzer sounded. I closed the laptop, wondering how much of what the guest had said was true. Were there really aliens coming to Earth? Or was it as most of the scientific world thought? Asteroids from deep space. They predicted the twin objects would avoid Earth and head past, using the sun's gravitational orbit to loop around, shooting them far away forever. Marcus waited outside in a thick winter jacket, gloves on his hands. Snow fell, and I shivered, recalling one of our destinations.
You ready?
All set. It had been 2 days since Hunter had visited, and they'd gone very slowly. With my exams marked and sent to the college, I was done until the end of the year when I'd have to go in for a few meetings. That didn't leave us a lot of time, especially during the holiday season. We still had to build our team, and that wasn't going to be as simple as Hunter thought it would be. Marcus collected one of my bags, and I took the other, glancing at my place before closing the door and locking it. With any luck, I'd be home before I knew it. Over the last couple of days, I'd realized how impossible all of this sounded. A bridge to another world. But even if there was no such thing as aliens, I was going to end up where my father was last known to have visited, and I wanted closure on that part of my life so I could focus on my career and maybe settle down eventually. My mind was always wandering, trying to take me to the next thing, the next clue. The trail left by Dirk Walker over 30 years ago, it wasn't healthy. I considered what Isabella had said about some man bringing her into the fold without a choice, and I stopped near Madison's town car. Marcus, you know you don't have to do this, right? The driver came around taking my luggage. He stowed it in the trunk while Marcus stared at me with a confused expression.
What are you saying, Rex?
This. It could be dangerous. I don't necessarily believe everything, but there is an alien cult after us. We've seen the cars, the tails, the guns in El Mirador. Even if it's all in their heads, they will harm us. The track, the stops around the world, this is not safe and predictable.
Rex, are you forgetting? I've followed you to 5 continents already, searching for these tokens. I want to do this. I need to.
Marcus's voice was low, and I set a hand on his shoulder. I just don't want things to get out of hand. I feel like I'm dragging you into the crosshairs, and I don't like it. You should go home to Florida for the holidays, see your family.
And leave you with no one guarding your back?
I don't think so, Marcus told me firmly.
Besides, how are you going to get anything done without me around? You'd be lost.
He opened the car door and slid into the idling vehicle. Snow melted on the warm hood as it fell, and I glanced around the street, finding it quiet in the early morning. Everything was covered in a fresh layer of flakes, and the street lights were on despite the hour. The thick clouds were low, making the day darker than usual. I entered the vehicle and shuffled in beside Marcus. Once the door closed, we started to drive, marking the official start of our adventure. The helicopter landed at Hunter Madison's East Hampton mansion, and the pilot confirmed we could disembark. Francois arrived, his slicked hair unaffected by the gust the rotor sent across the yard.
"This way, sirs,"
he said, and grabbed our two heaviest bags without issue. Marcus just shrugged, taking his carry-on, and the helicopter lifted, the noise finally growing quieter by the time we'd crossed the grounds to the house's rear patio. Hunter stood inside, eyeing the sky as if he anticipated a tornado to appear. His expression was cautious, even fearful. I followed after Francois, passing over the extremely detailed cobblestone courtyard. The entire area was strung with Christmas lights, surprising me. "Hunter, I expected more of an Ebenezer vibe from you," I told him, and the billionaire's gaze lowered, as if he'd only then realized we'd entered his home. He looked older, his cheeks a little sallower, his hair whiter, if that was possible.
"Welcome back, Rex."
"Hello, Marcus." He held out his hand, and we took turns shaking it. I reached for my bag and pulled out my laptop. "I have some ideas on the team."
"Straight to business," Hunter asked. "Marcus, tell me, is he always this anxious to work?"
"Sure is. The guy's wound tighter than I lifted a finger. If you want to wait until after the holidays, we can reschedule everything." The anger in Hunter's eyes at the mention of delay told me he was even more ready than I was to begin our endeavor.
"There is something I'd like to speak with you two about. Care to join me in the study?"
Hunter started away, and I removed my wet shoes. It was damp outside, rain spitting on and off, but no snow yet. A common East Coast December day. We walked through the mansion, and I slowed to check what the wonderful smell was in the kitchen. A man stood near the island, chatting with the chef. "Any chance I can have a snack?" My stomach growled at the scent of his cooking. I'd been too worked up earlier, too worried about this mission to eat this morning, but being at Hunter's relaxed my anxious nerves.
"Sure thing, Mr. Walker."
The chef was a formidable man with a white apron and a friendly smile.
"We have tomato bisque and a scattering of hors d'oeuvres. Help yourself. Mr. Madison requested lunch in a half hour."
"Excuse me," I said, striding past the man who stood between me and the cooling food. He hesitantly shifted on his feet and stepped aside.
"Mr. Walker, is it?"
The man had a tough visage and was out of place among the opulence of Hunter's home. "That's what it says on my driver's license. How about yours?"
"Trip. Trip Davis."
He didn't offer his hand, and neither did I. I knew who he was, although we'd never formally been introduced. It was difficult to do so when you were being hijacked in the middle of the jungle. "No way." I left the finger foods behind, stalking for Hunter's study with expedience. "Hunter, this wasn't part of the deal." Hunter was seated, talking with Marcus when I barged in, and he lifted his hands defensively.
"I see you've met Trip. Calm yourself, Rex. We can discuss this like adults, can we not?"
"Wait, the Trip? That jerk that took your loot and left you high and dry in the rainforest?" Marcus rose, coming to join me in my posturing.
"I'll have you know that what we did was within our rights, according to local."
The man was behind me, and I clenched my jaw, using all my reserved strength to stop myself from decking him. "You screwed me over and took the prizes I'd committed months of research and weeks of scouring to locate." I pictured the carved figure with red jewels embedded as eyes in the black onyx statue. "Not to mention the investment I failed to return to the museum funding my expedition."
"Trip always gets the job done, Rex. That's why I'm insisting he join the crew."
Hunter stayed seated, and Trip gave me a satisfied smirk as he watched me, arms crossed over his chest. "It's off. I won't work with this man," I said, and started for the exit. Francois arrived, and he blocked the doorway. I could feel the tension rise in the study, and I glanced at Marcus. He moved closer to me. This was a real make-or-break moment. A man like Hunter, who claimed to have been part of an alien cult at some point, hadn't gotten this rich and stayed wealthy by being a nice person. I had no doubt he'd done many unscrupulous things. Everything inside the study looked the same, but it was the opposite of the inviting space it had been the first time we'd visited. It was hostile. Angry. Hunter Madison finally stood, his hands clutching his chair arm to assist the motion.
"I'm dying, Rex. I've spent far too long on this to give up or lose it now. Trip is devious, yes, but he's working for me. You're in charge of this expedition, so by every account he answers to you. Is that understood, Trip? Hunter asked.
The man picked at his nails, avoiding eye contact with me as I stared daggers at him.
Fine by me, he smiled. As long as I get paid, we're aces.
Francois stepped aside and disappeared into the corridor. I had to keep an eye on that one. He was dangerous despite his stuffiness and reluctance to be seen. I stood my ground, the adrenaline in my body giving me a boost of energy. I'm hiring the guide. We need a pilot who we can trust. I know just the guy. The sooner we started, the faster my time with Trip would come to an end. Hunter nodded.
See, we can work together on this. Let's eat and discuss how to proceed in a timely fashion. You can contact your guide, and we'll make the offer. Sound good?
Castro was going to be thrilled to join our crew. The last time I talked with him, his tour business in the Outback had been suffering. Fine. I reluctantly let Marcus past me, and he jogged ahead of Trip, both of them advancing toward the dining room. Hunter's grip held me back, and he stumbled, almost falling over. Are you okay? I asked him. He grunted and righted himself on my shoulder.
I'm terribly sorry. The medication, it throws me for a loop on occasion. Do you mind staying close, in case it happens again?
He still hadn't told me what he was dying from, but now wasn't the time to ask. Trip Davis, you sure this is the right call?
Trip is tougher than nails. He's been deployed to the world's darkest corners and returned without a scratch.
I doubted that. The man had been a Navy SEAL, but doing whatever clandestine missions he'd accomplished under the orders of the U.S. government would have left marks. Maybe not on his skin, but in more unpredictable recesses of the mind. Not that I felt sorry for him.
If he so much as screws us in the slightest, he's done. Understood?
We won't have to worry about that. He's being compensated well.
I halted before we entered the dining room and turned to face Hunter. If this bridge is real, and I still have reservations, of course, there's no amount of money to keep our secret. Trip will use the knowledge to his benefit. I believe that.
Dirk, Hunter's eyes narrowed. Sorry. You're acting just like he used to. Your resemblance is uncanny. Your voice. Rex, the bridge isn't a lie. Your father found the tokens, and he used them in the case. I know this without a shadow of a doubt. He departed, and I have to find the bridge.
What do you expect on the other side? I asked him.
Contact.